Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Fitzgerald joins.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
This is us, GoPowerCat.com. Frequent guests on this show. Always happy to have him. Fitz, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
We're doing well. We started down this path of Big 12 previews a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. This is number 15 that we've done. It's caused me to be highly intrigued about the Big 12, if I wasn't already, with all the contenders and all the things that could go well and could go wrong. How do you feel K-State stacks up as we get ready to embark on this season?
I really like this team. More than I have, honestly, probably since 1998. I just feel like this team's got something about them. And maybe it's the Avery hype that I played a role in. But let's be honest, I'm not hearing anything negative from coaches or players either. And so I feel like that it's got this team feeling very confident. I think they're really confident in their defense. And while everyone focuses on Avery, I feel like the defense believes it has something to prove, that it can also carry the weight of this program. So, you know, you just never know about injuries. You know, every team changes when their quarterback gets hurt. I think K-State would change drastically if that happened. So I'm a little guarded from that respect because he's going to be in peril running the ball quite a bit, and we'll see how that pans out. But I'm telling you guys, I think this is going to be a really good K-State team.
Wanted to ask you about Avery from the standpoint of, we really got to know him here in Wichita, I mean, a little bit as far as, you know, media coverage and things like that, and he came off as a humble kid, and I'm not insinuating that that has changed, but what does change in these college athletes when they're given these amazing cars, they're given a lot of money? It's pretty early in this NIL process to maybe judge the psychology of that, but is that something that you think about at all? Like the pressure increases when they're getting all this money and luxuries?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad car he's driving around.
Not at all.
Lavender might stand out a little bit. You probably can figure out it's Avery. Look, I've covered a lot of athletes, and I've seen a lot of teams. I've never seen a true freshman like last year so quickly gain the respect of his teammates and be such a natural, just kind of casual leader. He's not trying. He just does it. I always go back to this story when he was a recruit, went to the Elite 11. Big deal, you know, the best quarterbacks in the country. A lot of the best receivers are there to catch passes from him. And one of the 24/7 national analysts said, when we got on the bus, everyone surrounded Avery. They just gravitate towards this kid. And that's really what I've seen at Kansas State. He's a very humble kid that understands life, as his parents, you know, recognize. He's an adult. He really is. He always has been. And another great quote is, you know, his dad told Ryan Wallace, my recruiting guy, that, hey, when he walks in the room, he's an adult. He's the adult in the room, even at home. He just handles everything so level-headed. So we'll see.
Well, and obviously, I'm kind of curious to your thoughts on Dylan Edwards. You know, was there, wasn't there, now is it? How is he fitting in, hon? And is he going to be an every-down guy, or are they going to be – what's going to happen in the backfield?
Yeah, this will be interesting, Jason. This is one of the things I'm really interested in watching this team follow, how they're going to distribute the ball. How are they going to use Dylan Edwards? Because DJ Giddens is a proven commodity that they can rely on. It's not like he's good. He was really good last year and can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think the presence of Dylan Edwards – will make DJ Giddens even better. Yeah, he'll be the backup running back, but he'll also play some receiver. He'll return kicks. I think they're going to get him on the field every opportunity they can. I'm excited to see if they go two back set at all with those two back there behind Avery, because God bless the defensive coordinator's got to figure that one out. They love him. They think he's fit in really well. You can tell Dylan's a happy soul being around Avery, who's, you know, one of his closest friends in the world, and being back in Kansas, he's thriving. And yeah, Matt Wells, the co-offense coordinator, just earlier raved about how good this kid is and how they have to find ways to get him the ball, because when he gets the ball, something happens.
We're previewing Kansas State football with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. So we had John Kirby on yesterday to talk about KU. Kind of similar, because KU has a kind of a throwaway game to start. Kansas State plays UT Martin, should handle that one very well. KU goes on the road for, in my mind, an especially intriguing game in week two at Illinois. And K-State kind of does the same. They're going to New Orleans to face Tulane. That's an interesting game early.
Yeah, they both are. I mean, look, I honestly think that Illinois isn't that good, but it's their home field. It's a Big Ten program. They have pride in that. I think KU will roll in there and win. I'm less confident in K-State because, you know, Tulane proved to itself it can play with this team and, you know, this program. So we'll see what happens. You look back at the 22 season and you kind of wonder if K-State hadn't lost to Tulane in that shocking home loss, would they have won the Big 12? Because I think that galvanized this team. Like, yeah, we screwed that up. We can't do that again. And for the most part, they were better because of it. But I think both teams will win these games. I think both teams are outstanding. Both teams have great quarterbacks that both teams change if there's an injury to one of those quarterbacks. So this is going to be a fantastic year of college football in this state.
So we believe we know what Kansas State has in Avery Johnson. The backfield is really good. The receivers look good. The defense looks good. What about the offensive line? That's where they maybe lost a little bit. They lost the best blocking tight end probably in the country. So how is that group kind of rounded into form, and how important is it that those guys kind of learn and mesh quickly?
I'm with you, brother. I'm telling you what, I got to see it because they were really good last year, but not necessarily early in the year. It took them a while to kind of galvanize. And I think that'll be true this year. The problem is Tulane week two, Arizona week three. You don't have much time to galvanize. Now, the other factor here is Avery's the type of quarterback that can compensate for a while with offensive line issues by running out of trouble. But that means you're also not protecting him, putting him, you know, in a place to be injured. So they've got to get that offensive line set. They have more experience along there than maybe we're giving credit. They technically return three starters, although Hadley Panzer is, you know, moved to the left guard just to replace Cooper Beebe. No big deal. And they have a new left tackle. So we'll find out pretty quickly. I think this is underlines the importance of that Tennessee Martin game, is trying to work out some of those kinks and making sure everyone's game ready.
And how do you think that this is all going to pan out? I mean, new 16 teams. It's just hard for me to go there with that, obviously, with the new teams in. Where do you see K-State falling in the ranks here? Where are they going to finish?
Yeah, I think this game for Kansas State comes down to maybe three games, which would be starting with West Virginia. And that game comes on the heels of going to Colorado and before playing Kansas, which is the second game on my list. So I feel like West Virginia is a real trap for K-State. You can't be coming off the high of, you know, all the national media seeing you beat Deion Sanders and everything, the circus in Boulder. And forget that West Virginia is a pretty good football team with an absolute warrior at quarterback and a coach fighting for his life still. So that's a good team. Then you got Kansas, which is an outstanding team, great coach. Maybe some questions on defense, but that offense can beat most teams, even if they have questions on defense. So that's scary. And then, guys, they go into this three-week stint of teams they should beat. Let's be blunt. I mean, they've got Houston on the road. They come home, play Cincinnati and Arizona State. That's a great way to kind of wind down your season. You don't get those huge tests. You can't look past anyone. But then you go to Iowa State. At the last game of the season in late November, I promise you the weather won't be worse than this season in Manhattan, because that would require about 10 inches of snow. I think Iowa State is a sleeper in this conference. I think they're going to be outstanding. I think people aren't keeping a good enough eye on them. They were really young last year. They got better through the season. I truly believe that that game could decide who goes to Arlington for the Big 12 championship.
Final moments here with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. It's interesting to analyze schedules. You got into it some, but there are five ranked teams in the Big 12 going into the season. K-State plays three of them all at home, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and Arizona. But I wanted to ask you, Fitz, about the staying power of where we are in college football, because it's obvious the SEC and the Big Ten have made a power grab. What's this going to look like in 5 years? Are we still going to be interested in anything? I'm talking about at the highest level, in anything other than those two conferences. Are they out for clear and total domination?
They are. I think the SEC's capable of that. I think the Big Ten's a joke. They've got, you know, they've added some good programs, but they're still really soft in the middle and bottom. I mean, let's remind everyone, Colorado beat Nebraska last year. And I think that's kind of a definition of where that Big Ten West has been over the last few years, certainly since Wisconsin kind of backed up and wasn't as good as they had been. I think it's really important for the Big 12 to get into that playoff, try to sneak in two teams, because I know that the powers that be are working against them. I hope there's enough honesty in college sports to pick good teams over big brands, but I'm not confident of that. And if the Big 12 gets into that playoff, they got to win. They got to win some games, particularly the team that wins the championship, gets the bye, and then probably has to play a 5 or 6 seed from the SEC in the second round. Yeah, you got to win that game. And, you know, I'll be honest, that's a tough matchup. The third team out of the SEC is tough. And that's what makes them great, is their upper echelon is elite. And everything else is pretty similar to the Big 12. And I think that's what the Big 12 needs to cash in, is that we can match up with teams below Georgia and whoever, if it's Alabama again or whoever else emerges. They've got to win games. They just got to prove it on the field. We can talk all we want, but until you put up some scores, it doesn't matter.
Well, you and I have been around a long time. I'm highly intrigued by all of this. I just hope I'm highly intrigued down the road as well. Fitz, we always appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, boys. Absolutely. Anytime.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.